Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
A local city, state, federal government. If you happen to work in one of those arenas, you want to be careful if you're going to write anything, like maybe a devotional book. You decide you're going to write a men's devotional book, and then you're so wild, you're so out of control as a Christian that you decide to include, well, you know, biblical truth, and then some aspects of biblical truth. Love your neighbor as yourself. Nobody's got a problem with that, right? We all like the golden rule. But you start talking about sexual ethics, homosexuality, marriage, whatever, and all of a sudden things can get very interesting. That's certainly what happened for Mr. Kelvin Cochran down in Atlanta. You probably remember this story that they did not like. They found out that he had written some things in a men's devotional book that they took issue with. So they put him 30 days on leave and then ended up firing him. And that was Mayor Reed and the folks down there in Atlanta. And then praise the Lord, and our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom got in his corner, and obviously the Lord was in his corner in October of 2018, last year, won a suit back against them because they violated his rights as an American citizen. And Mr. Kelvin Cochran's going to be here in Raleigh, North Carolina, with one of my favorite ministries, Capital Commission, which you hear the commercials on the show when we're asking you to pray for those in authority over us, pray1tim2.org. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're supposed to be praying for those in authority over us. So they're celebrating a decade of ministry next week here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Thursday, October 17th. And Mr. Cochran's going to be the keynote speaker that night. I get to play a small role and excited about that. Love this ministry and really appreciate Mr. Kelvin Cochran. Welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Steve. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. You've been down quite a road. And before we talk about kind of this story and what happened in Atlanta, I'd just like to set that aside and thank you for your years of public service there in the fire department as a fire chief and on the national level as well. It's men like you, sir, that really kind of shine forth what America is supposed to be all about and selfless service and care for your neighbor. So thank you so much for that. That's it's just awesome to have you on.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. So let's kind of get in the time machine there. And I would assume that this kind of came out of left field. You know, the mayor wanted you back, and you had done very well. You were very well recognized in 2012. Fire Chief Magazine named you Fire Chief of the Year. Did it hit you out of the blue and all of a sudden they kind of pulled you into the office and said, okay, we've got a problem?
Yes, it sure did. I mean, living out my faith was just a way of life for me growing up in Shreveport, Louisiana. And it was God's calling on my life that caused me to be a firefighter. So I thought just the two went together, living out your faith while serving your community.
And what exactly did the city of Atlanta have? What was their beef with you?
Well, you know, serving at my church in Atlanta, Elizabeth Baptist Church, I was part of a men's ministry, and God led me to do some research on the question that he asked Adam in the Garden of Eden, who told you that you were naked? I was curious as to whether God was asking Adam more than who told you that you don't have on any clothes.
Yeah.
And so the research led to a book, and in the book I wrote about issues that Christian men struggle with, one of them was sexual sin, and I simply wrote what the Bible says about sex and marriage in about four paragraphs, and that's the part of the book that the city of Atlanta took issue with that caused my suspension and subsequent termination from employment.
And so what was their position in terms of the content of that devotional book and how it affected your ability to serve as the fire chief?
Well, they clearly stated that the city of Atlanta did not embrace my beliefs about marriage and sexuality that was expressed in the book, and that because of what I wrote conflicted with what they believe. I had a propensity to discriminate against people who didn't believe that way, so they suspended me for 30 days to investigate whether or not I had ever discriminated against someone for having those beliefs. The investigation proved that I had never discriminated against anyone for having those beliefs, yet I was terminated from employment anyway.
Now, once the findings of that investigation came out, did they switch gears and just come up with another explanation as to why they went ahead and fired you, or did they just do it and not explain themselves?
Well, their excuse was after the investigation that I failed to get permission from the mayor to write the book to express my views, that I should have gotten permission, that I violated the policy, and I should have gotten permission. And thanks be to God, we have a right in the United States of America of free speech and freedom of religion that protects Americans, that we don't have to get permission from anyone to express those beliefs. And Alliance Defending Freedom, by the grace of God, did a great job of representing that. And we prevailed on that right.
Yeah, and it's not as if you had entitled the book, the devotional, "Hey, a men's devotional for members of the Atlanta Fire Department," written by Mr. Kelvin Cochran, and you did it on behalf of the fire. Okay, that's one thing, because that'll be tricky in a court of law, because they'll look at that as an endorsement of a certain religion over other religions. But you wrote it as a private citizen. I mean, how did they even think that they had a right to control your speech outside of your role as a fire chief?
Well, their position was, as a government official, I didn't have that right. And, you know, and again, that I should have asked for permission to express that belief. The Honorable Mayor Kasim Reed, when he ran for his first term, he believed just like I believe about biblical marriage and biblical sexuality. However, during his first term, or later towards the end of it, in his own words, he had evolved in his beliefs and changed his position, and his expectation was anyone under his leadership should have evolved as well and should have embraced those same beliefs, and that just didn't take place with me.
Pretty interesting that the mayor of Atlanta essentially quoted former President Barack Obama. That's what he said, that his beliefs on the issue of marriage had evolved. And so he's bringing his personal beliefs and making that the new standard of what's right and wrong for a private citizen in your own private time writing underneath your protected rights. It was just, how did the city of Atlanta, other people in the fire department, how did the community down there react to this?
Well, the Christian community in the city of Atlanta, in the state of Georgia, and even across the country, Steve, I've had even Christians from around the world respond in a very positive way and very supportive, you know, of the beliefs that I've expressed and the position that I took, and that I did not give in to the pressure to resign.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on hold right quick. We're coming up on a break. I'm going to just put you on hold. I'll pick you up on the other side of the break. We're talking to Chief Kelvin Cochran, former chief down there in Atlanta. And as great as that is, the better thing is that he's a devout follower of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A great honor today. We're talking to the former chief of the Atlanta Fire Department, Mr. Kelvin Cochran, who had written a book for a men's study in his church. And in that book, he just espoused some of the things that the Bible teaches as true and right and godly, which is, of course, what we subscribe to. And then the powers that be in Atlanta got a hold of that. And then all of a sudden, they saw that as a violation of so many things that they stood for, and they put him on leave. And I think, Mr. Cochran, did they want you to go through, quote-unquote, sensitivity training? Was that part of their initial response?
Yes, sir. They said upon returning after my suspension, if I was cleared, I would still have to go through sensitivity training to calibrate my thinking along the lines of those of the city of Atlanta, which would not have worked on me, I have to say.
Yeah, that would have been in disagreement with the Holy Spirit that firmly resides inside of you. And what fellowship does darkness have with light, as the scripture says? So they fire you. And then did you know at the time, Mr. Cochran, that, okay, you know what? All right, I'm going to fight back. I'm going to stand up for my rights. And how quickly did ADF get involved? And tell us about that. And then I want to talk about your visit here next week.
Yes, well, I was so hopeful that the truth would set me free, that after 30 days, I would be exonerated and restored to work. But in that 30-day period, I was introduced to Alliance Defending Freedom, and we had a conference call a week before I was to return to work, just in case my hopefulness didn't pan out the way that I had really, really thought it would. And sure enough, when I was terminated, they stepped right in, and they are truly God's hand extended in the legal profession and walked me through the whole process.
That is so true. So were they confident from day one that when this case came back around that you would win?
Well, they had tremendous confidence, but they also stated that there were some uncertainties that, you know, were just not predictable in the law, but had tremendous faith that we would prevail. And it certainly turned out. Personally, I had confidence from the very outset that God would be glorified and that through God's glorification, I would be vindicated. And never had, Steve, a moment of despair or hopelessness from the very beginning through the very victory.
Yeah, and that's that the piece that surpasses all understanding. I'm reading from an Alliance Defending Freedom release about the whole situation. This was in October of last year. The city of Atlanta has agreed to pay its former fire chief, Calvin Cochran, the amount that he was awarded in the wake of a December 2017 court ruling that found some of the city's policies that led to his termination are unconstitutional. And this is going to lead to what Mr. Cochran's going to be doing here in Raleigh next week for our friends at Capitol Commission. The court determined that Atlanta's rules restricting non-work speech like the book for Christian men that Cochran wrote were too broad and allowed city officials to unconstitutionally discriminate against views with which they had, with which they disagree, which is a very important point for us as Christians. As Paul knew his rights as a Roman citizen, we need to know our rights as American citizens. And I think far too often, Kelvin, that a lot of Americans just Christian Americans will just kind of lie down thinking they need to turn the other cheek when what they really need to do is engage.
Yes, absolutely. I think what I've seen in the last 4 years, witnessed firsthand, is there are too many sons and daughters of God who have more fear in the worldly consequences of standing on biblical truth than faith in the kingdom consequences. And what I've learned, Steve, is that the kingdom consequences for standing on our biblical truth are far greater than the worldly consequences that we fear.
Amen. That's exactly right. And then when we do suffer in whatever form that comes here in the United States, certainly not as bad as it is in a lot of other parts of the world. But when that does happen, then we have the fellowship of the sufferings with Christ himself. And so we need to embrace that and realize and go, okay, I'm suffering because I stood up for the truth of God's word and for my Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that, as you know, more than most of us, Kelvin, is a unique blessing. So once you found out about Capitol Commission, and this is where I want to tie this together, you know, they've been reaching out for 10 years now in state capitals. They're not there to directly affect policy and talk about politics. They're there to witness and to pray and to do Bible studies. They're in 24 out of the 50 states now. And that's what we need. We see these types of problems in our governance, whether it's on a state level, a city level, or a national level, because we have far too many people in government that are not allied with the Word of God and with His truth. And as a result, things like this happen. So when you first found out about Capitol Commission, what was your reaction once you started to learn about what this ministry is all about?
Well, ministries like Capitol Commission are absolutely necessary to for faith to interface with government. And the ministries, the ministers of Capitol Commission that are currently in 24 states in the goal of 50 are just that. They are they have no agenda. They are present and visible and accessible to legislators and their staff to just be a voice for the gospel and for truth in sensitive moments when elected officials and their staff need them the most.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, because they, just like Jim Young, the founder of Capitol Commission, did here in our state for years, and now Brad Harbaugh runs that and also is the national leader, but just to be present, and then because when things go badly for Republicans and Democrats, for believers and unbelievers alike, and people that are even cultural Christians and maybe think they're Christians but don't actually know the Lord or have never been born again, you have a minister there. There's an incredible opportunity to love people well, to serve them, to pray with them, with the hopes, of course, of sharing the gospel with them or helping to shore up their faith. And it's really it's a missing component. We yell about We yell about politics. We yell about politicians. We get mad at them. But how often do we actually sit down with them and pray with them and care for them and love on them, which we're supposed to do as part of our calling as Christians? So we're super excited that you're coming out. It's the 10th anniversary celebrating a decade of ministry here in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's next Thursday, October 17th. Just a great banquet. It'll be a great evening. And there's still tickets available, so you can go to capitalcom.org. You can find it that way. Or the easier way, you can just text the word HOPE to 919-649-5208. I'll be there myself as well. Text the word HOPE to 919-649-5208 or go to capitalcom.org, the website, and just look for the National Ministry 10th Anniversary. So what are you going to be talking about next week when you're here, Kelvin?
Well, I'm going to be talking about faith, courage, and conviction in the times that we live in here in the United States of America, and sharing my story of how God prepared me for the fiery trial that I've experienced over the last 5 years, going through what I've gone through, and really the test: how do sons and daughters of God know that they are prepared to stand up for their faith and to live out their faith? I believe it's in days like this that we really need to let our light shine and really show the love of Christ, the personality and character of Christ, and to speak the truth with courage, conviction, and grace, without being threatening, but still being bold at the same time.
Well, that's John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus full of both grace and truth. And we have to be able, and we are enabled through the Holy Spirit to do both. Were you, and this will be, and we're almost done, almost out of time, but were you surprised by just how strongly the Lord led you through all this, Kelvin?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen a side of God that I have never seen before, being raised in church all my life.
Wow.
And I look forward to sharing that with the citizens of Raleigh next week.
Amen. So awesome. Kelvin Cochran, God bless you, brother. I really look forward to meeting you in person and shaking your hand. Thank you for your firm and courageous stand for the things of God. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, brother. Okay, friends, we'll be right back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Going to continue our conversation about something that we all need to be aware of and involved in. And it's one of those things that years ago, when we were doing a lot of activism here in North Carolina, just bombarding the legislature with your typical activism kind of stuff and going after them. You know, I'd always quote Ronald Reagan, make them see the light or make them feel the heat. I preferred to make them feel the heat. And so we're bombing away with that kind of stuff. And then there's these guys down there, the Christian ministers, pastors down there, ministering to people, praying with them, looking for an opportunity to share the gospel, leading Bible studies. And at first I was like, oh, come on, that's kind of wimpy. You guys need to be down there, you know, swing the hammer of truth and let's deal with these people. But I was wrong. And they were right. And one of the people that was really leading that effort and is the founder of Capital Commission is my dear friend, Jim Young, who is the founder of Capital Commission. And God has used in my life in a lot of different ways. Jim, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
You're welcome, brother. Good to talk to you. I'm glad I was able to plug in. Thanks for bringing Kelvin on and letting him share. And we're looking forward to next week.
Yeah, he was. He's very poised. He's very good. He was excellent on the air. He's a wonderful speaker and full of the joy of the Lord. So that's awesome. So let's go back in time a little bit, because what's happening here in Raleigh next Thursday night, which is October 17th, the 10th anniversary of Capital Commission. And this is just one of my favorite ministries, as you know, and has had a huge impact on me. But tell us about how this all got started in the first place.
Well, you know, a number of us had already been ministering in a Capitol arena, and unfortunately there were some things that occurred with leadership, and so basically the entire ministry left the one organization and was asked to start something new, and I was asked to found that and put it together and lead it, and so that began in October of 2019, which is why we're at a 10-year mark. And we were at, I think, 17 or 18 states then. Now we're at 25, which has been a good growth pattern. It's a slow process because all of our guys have to have the ability to make disciples, to teach the Word of God, to share their faith, and then to raise their own support. So obviously that becomes a difficult thing.
Yeah.
And I plugged away till the beginning of 18 when it was time for me to let the reins loosen and bring Brad on board. And he was serving as the state minister for North Carolina then. And then he was able to pass on the ministry there to Bert Jones, who was a legislator for, I think, 8 years for a number of terms. And so those guys will all be at the banquet, and we'll have great videos and testimonies and stories about what's happened in many of our state capitals. Many times across the political line. And so that's the interesting thing, to see the difference it's made. And so for me, Steve, I think the thing that I am disappointed with within the body of Christ is that we tend to have lost the passion for evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, there's folks who have given up on the power of the gospel. And so we know it changes lives. And my life has drastically changed. Your life has changed. And most believers out there today, at least if they've come to faith in Christ, you know, past the teen years, as adults, their lives were changed through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our emphasis is that, and our realization that there's no man or woman alive that can't be touched by the gospel and have his life changed. And the kingdom of God is built, and the side for that the political people love is that votes will change when hearts change.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's not our objective. That's just the truth.
Yeah, that's just the truth, and that's just a helpful piece of fruit that comes off the tree of salvation when you live in a country that's organized like ours as a representative republic. But do you find that when Capitol Commission is going into the legislative building, or maybe when you're going into a new state for the first time, that there's a lot of concern on behalf of legislators, and probably legislators of one stripe versus another in terms of politics, but they're wondering, or maybe they're shocked that you're not there to try to impact their political motivation or their vote. You're there to talk to them about their lives and their souls.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell our new guys that it's going to take them probably 3 years to be trusted there.
Wow.
Because everybody goes to the Capitol for something.
Right.
Something in return for being there. And so those who are already in a political active mode would think that's what we're going to do. And so when we don't, they're a little ticked. And then the other side, they assume that's what we're going to do too. And so they're quite guarded. So it means to everybody, even the security people are not sure why we're there.
Yeah.
And they have never seen people come in with a motive of just loving and caring for everybody there. So it flows over to security, to housekeeping, to the legislative aides, the staff, the librarians, the reporters, the lobbyists. I mean, it's just, again, it was mentioned, I think you mentioned the idea of being present.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a presence there that's there to care and to love. And it makes a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, and that's such a great point that you brought, that everybody that goes into the legislature that doesn't work there is there to get something from them, as opposed to being there just to serve them and love them, which makes sense why many people would take several years for them to kind of get past, because that well has been poisoned, that water's been poisoned by our political vitriol for years now, and it takes some time to earn that right and to kind of get through all that, where you can just, people realize you're there to actually love them well. And so this next Thursday, October 17th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. here in Raleigh. You can find out more information if you just go to capitolcom, that's CAPITOL, capitolcom.org, and you just look for the National Ministry 10th Anniversary, or you can just text the word HOPE and get the information that way right on your cell phone. Text the word HOPE to 919-649-5208. That's 919-649-5208. 5208, and just text the word HOPE. And tell everybody real quick, Jim, one of the things that I talk about has been a regular part of the show for several years now, is pray1tim2.org, because that's a big part that we all should be playing.
Well, this is a prayer site that allows us to be obedient to Paul's teaching to Timothy, that Timothy was to teach the church, to pray for those in authority. And it's a simple tool. It's free. And it becomes an email sent to you every day. It takes about 2 or 3 minutes to pray through 6 legislators. There's one U.S. congressional member from your particular state. If you're in North Carolina, then you would have a legislator from North Carolina show up as one of the U.S. reps or senators, and then two of your state senators with their pictures, and then three of the state representatives. On the first day of the month is the executive branch, where we have President Trump and the governor of your state, lieutenant governor or secretary of state. And then on the last 2 days of the month, we list the U.S. Supreme Court with one opportunity there to pray for your state Supreme Court members. Also, there's not room to list them all, but they're there to be reminded of. For me, it's just you become familiar with them because their faces are there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's interactive. You can click the Facebook icon and not Facebook icon, the email icon, and send a legislator just a simple note. Was thinking of you today, prayed for you. We use Pray One Tim Two. I go to such and such church.
Yep, that's it.
And then, Steve, the greatest value I've seen from that is that legislator gets a number of emails from a particular church, and then that church wants to send some people to go in to talk to him. Even if it's a legislator they don't agree with, if they want to go in and talk with him about a bill or an issue, and he's been in the pattern of hearing from Providence Baptist Church or, you know, any, you know, Christ Baptist Church or Summit, or if he's been used to hearing from a church, and it's always been positive, his door is wide open to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise, if he's heard the other side of it, he's being railed upon, and you try to get an appointment,
that ain't,
there's
yeah,
no way he's going to identify
happen.
You with that. So we need to earn the right to be heard, and that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and then the thing about it, when you start praying for those in authority over you, which, by the way, that when you get the email each day at pray1tim2.org, it doesn't tell you their party affiliation. You just pray for them. And it's amazing what that will do to your heart in terms of looking at these people as individuals made in the image of God who, whether you disagree or agree with their politics, are people that God loves and cares about and died for, and we need to intercede for them. If they're believers, awesome. Pray even more so for them in terms of the fruit of the Spirit and their witness for the Christ, for the Lord. And if they're lost, it's an easy thing to pray. I don't know the state of most of them in terms of the salvation, so I pray for that first, and then I pray because you always have a prayer prompt and pray for that and just their overall effectiveness and wisdom. And man, it really helped me to kind of purge some of the poison from my own heart in terms of dealing with politicians. Pray1tim2.org is that website. Again, next Thursday here in Raleigh, North Carolina, the 10th anniversary banquet for our friends at Capital Commission. 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. in North Raleigh at the Raleigh Marriott Crabtree. You can go to capitalcom, CAPITOL.com, capitalcom.org, and just look on the first page for National Ministry 10th Anniversary, or you can just text the word HOPE to 919-649-5208. 919-649-5208. Just text the word HOPE. Jim, I appreciate you. I love you. I look forward to being with you next Thursday.
Thank you, brother. Looking forward
to
having you again.
All right, talk to you real soon. All right, this is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. When we come back, some big updates on this whole impeachment nightmare and something that Planned Parenthood's doing next year that you need to know.
I dare you.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Four different stories I want to go here that all kind of flow into the whole impeachment nightmare that's going on in D.C. It would be the third time in U.S. history where they would actually bring up articles of impeachment against the sitting president. And it looks like I'm asking my friends on Facebook Live if you want to join us on Facebook Live. 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, unless I happen to be out of town, then just go to The Steve Noble Show page on Facebook, okay, and you can join us and be on camera right here. Not you. You're not on camera. You're safe. I'm the goofball that's on camera here in the studio. So you can join us that way. And it looks like about 50-50. Yes, they'll impeach. No, they won't. I think they will. I think they can't get this train off the tracks. I think it's got a certain amount of inertia. And but Nancy's trying to play it safe, but that's not going to last much longer. So four stories here on that, and then we'll talk about what Planned Parenthood's game on, to say the least, in the 2020 elections. And by the way, for the rest of you, if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham area, Greensboro, Charlotte, and you want to drive up and join us tomorrow night, Call to Worship's finally here. That's tomorrow night here in Raleigh, North Carolina, 7 to 9 p.m. It's going to be a fantastic evening, very important for the ministry in terms of financial support, but just a great night of encouragement, great story from a family who's endured much over the last, it'll be 8 years in December with their son, Harrison, who's now 18, but he was diagnosed with a very rare childhood cancer when he was 10. Within a couple of weeks, he had a stroke. They almost lost him several times. It's really an amazing story. So I'm going to be interviewing them on stage. And then praise and worship with our friend Josh Bales, who's coming in from Florida. And then I've got some ministry updates and two really big announcements that are coming up here in the next few months. Big announcements regarding the ministry and the direction and what I feel the Lord's calling me and us to do with the board. So that's going on tomorrow night. You want to join us? That's easy. Go to thestevenobleshow.com. You can register for your tickets. You don't have to have a ticket to get in, but we like to know who's coming. And so if you can register, that's helpful. Or just text the word DOSE to 66866 and we'll take care of you that way. The word DOSE, D-O-S-E. No, that's wrong. What am I doing? That's for the daily devotional. You can do that too. You can text the word DOSE if you want to get the daily devotional. I need a nap. 66866. Or if you want to come to call to worship, just text worship to 66866. Okay, we'll take care of you either way. All right, here we go. The Intelligence Committee couldn't account for the 18-day gap between Trump's Ukraine call and the whistleblower's complaint. Okay, so this is all the shenanigans that are going on here, okay, with Mr. Schiff. President Donald Trump had a phone conversation with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky on July 15, 2019, 18 days later, you know, because it's so earth-shatteringly important. So we wait almost 3 weeks. 18 days later, a whistleblower filed a complaint alleging the president had pressured Zelensky into investigating former Vice President Joe Biden, who's obviously he would do that because he's trying to get him out of the race, because I'm sure Donald Trump's really afraid of Joe Biden. So that's the complaint. Oh, he's trying to pressure the president of another country in order to further his own political goals, in this case, reelection, which would be a problem if that were actually true. It's still unclear, this article says, Fox News, why it took the whistleblower 18 days to report such an allegedly egregious abuse of presidential power. Intelligence Community Inspector General Michael Atkinson couldn't explain why it took more than 2 weeks for the whistleblower to file the complaint. Fox News reported that during Atkinson's congressional testimony, he could not explain the delay in reporting, quote, or when exactly the whistleblower contacted a key Democrat staff. Sources familiar with the testimony told Fox News. And that was Adam Schiff. Okay, that was his staff. Got contacted. Right. So it doesn't appear to be any political shenanigans going on here. Right. Schiff said multiple times that he did not know the identity of the whistleblower and that neither he nor his staff had spoken to the whistleblower. That's called a lie. The Washington Post gave Schiff four Pinocchios for his claim, since it was revealed that the whistleblower reached out to Schiff's staff prior to filing the complaint. The whistleblower did not acknowledge that the contact had been made in possible violation of the law. See how stinky this is? Now let's move over to this other story. I think this one's from the Daily Wire. Bombshell. Whistleblower had a significant tie to Democrat challenging Trump in 2020 election. That's an issue, right? A new report from the Washington Examiner on Tuesday revealed that the CIA whistleblower reportedly, quote unquote, had a significant connection to a 2020 Democrat presidential candidate who was challenging President Donald Trump in the election. That seems to go to motive, does it not? In an August 26 letter, the Intelligence Community's Inspector General, Michael Atkinson, wrote that the anonymous whistleblower who set off the Trump-Ukraine impeachment fight showed, quote, some indicia of an arguable political bias in favor of a rival political candidate. The Examiner's Byron York wrote, quote, now, however, there is word of more evidence of possible bias on the whistleblower's part. Under questioning from Republicans during last Friday's impeachment inquiry interview with Atkinson, the inspector general revealed that the whistleblower's possible bias was not that he was simply a registered Democrat. It was that he had a significant tie to one of the Democratic presidential candidates currently vying to challenge President Trump in next year's election. And what would that be? One of the other people involved in this is saying, well, it actually might have worked for one of them. Yeah, no bias there. Right? No problem whatsoever. This whole thing just gets stinkier by the day, right? So we have to keep paying attention to that. And one person that will help Donald Trump in this regard is the guy that his team just hired to get added to his legal team, none other than U.S. Representative, now retired, Trey Gowdy. Former prosecutor, right? Talk about a tough dude. He's joining President Trump's, this is from a Fox News article, legal team as outside counsel for the House's expanding impeachment inquiry, according to a report. An administration official who spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity confirmed Gowdy's hiring Tuesday. Gowdy, who formerly chaired the House Oversight and Reform Committee, decided not to seek re-election last year and joined the law firm Nelson, Mullins, Riley, and Scarborough after leaving office. Trey Gowdy is a pit bull. So, if you like political theater, imagine this. imagine that the House of Representatives under the quote-unquote leadership of Nancy Pelosi actually brings impeachment charges. Mitch McConnell in the Senate said they will have no choice but to take that up. And on the floor in the president's defense is Trey Gowdy and Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice. Trey Gowdy and Jay Sekulow, who will run circles around any Democrat in the Senate, anybody that they bring in to help. Because these are formidable people. Jay Sekulow's argued in front of the Supreme Court multiple times. Trey Gowdy's a tough prosecutor. And they get to call witnesses and put people on the stand. Now, I don't think impeachment's good for the country. Well, it's not that I don't think it is. It isn't, especially given the condition of the nation right now. But that would be awesome. That I would be, talk about must-see TV. I would be all over that. That would be just fascinating. Not the least is the reality that it would be historic. But to see talk of those two guys, Jay Sekulow and Trey Gowdy, are cut from a similar cloth from Trump in terms of toughness. And they'll go right for the jugular. And you're going to get, they can call people in to, as witnesses. They could call in Comey. They could call in Hillary Clinton. Subpoena them. Put them on the stand for all the world to see. So a part of me is like, oh, what a great present that would be. So we'll see. Okay. Here's another thing, sidebar issue, kind of. U.S. Attorney John Durham beefs up investigation into Russia probe origins after findings. So there's all this stuff. I'm hopeful, we need to pray that the truth will come out on all this stuff. United States Attorney John Durham is expanding his investigation into the origins of the FBI's counterintelligence probe into Russia and the Trump campaign after his team reportedly made significant discoveries. So they're running into more and more stuff. And he's like, I need more people. I need more money. I need more time. And then he said they're not going to wait like Mueller did for some big report. Durham has said as soon as they have actionable things, they'll let us know. So it's not going to be we're going to wait 2 years. As soon as they have actionable stuff, they're going to let it out. So this is really another fascinating development. And, we need to be in prayer. Don't pray as a Republican or a conservative. Pray as a Christian for justice, for truth, for their intrigues to be their downfall, as it says in the Old Testament. Okay, we need to be praying for those things. We need to pray for truth and justice, not because you're a Republican, not because you like Donald Trump, but because if you call yourself a Christian, that is your allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of all heaven and earth, to God. And Jesus said in himself, for this reason I was born and this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. We pray for the truth. And no matter where that falls, you need to pray for truth and justice. That is not the American way. That is God's way. Okay. All right. 2020 election. This is a big deal. Planned Parenthood vows to spend $45 million in 2020 to elect abortion rights candidates. And Rush was talking about it today. I appreciate that Rush pretty regularly talks about the life issue. Planned Parenthood's political wings, which fight for legal protections for abortion, announced Wednesday they'll spend $45 million backing candidates who support abortion rights in elections next year, ranging from the state house level to the White House. Planned Parenthood Votes and Planned Parenthood Advocacy and political organizations are launching their largest ever electoral effort for the 2020 cycle. We'll fight for our rights and freedoms down the ballot in 2020, the organization tweeted. The group says its top priority in 2020 is to defeat and unseat President Trump. Why? Because he's the most actionable pro-life president in the history of the country. That's why. And if you don't, I understand if you don't like him because of his style or whatever. But when it comes to the life issue, you have to give the man his props, okay? We need to thank God for that. The group will target roughly 5 million voters across the country with a spotlight on 9 key swing states: Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. To them, to Planned Parenthood, and I know none of you are listening, see ya on the field. Because I'm going to be getting much more involved with North Carolina politics next year, not the least of which one reason... for the state of the country, for the state of life, but also for my good friend Dan Forrest, who's running for governor. And come on, bring it on. We'll see you there. $45 million. That's a lot of money. That's more money than most of these presidential wannabes have raised recently. All because they want to defend their God, which is baby child execution. That's how they make their money. It's blood money. And they want to keep getting rich. They still want their $460, $470 million a year from the government. Tens of millions of dollars less because of the current president, current occupant of the White House. So bring it on. And we all need to be praying about that and getting involved and be ready to vote. Apathy is simply not an option for a Christian. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be live from the church tomorrow where we're doing Called to Worship. Just text the word worship to 66866. I look forward, hopefully, to seeing you tomorrow. God willing, I'll talk to you then. And like my dad always said, ever forward.